Vi skal få lese fra Johannes kapittel 13, vers 1-14. Det var like før påskehøytiden, og Jesus visste at hans time var kommet da han skulle gå bort fra denne verden og til sin far. Han hadde elsket sine egne som var i verden, og han elsket dem helt til det siste. De holdt måltid. Djevelen hadde alt gitt Judas, sønn av Simon Iskariot, den tanken i hjertet at han skulle forråde ham. Jesus visste at far hadde gitt alt i hans hånd, og at han var utgått fra Gud og gikk til Gud. Da reiser han seg fra måltidet, legger av seg kappen, tar et linklede og binder det om seg. Så heller han vann i et fat og begynner å vaske disiplenes føtter og tørke dem med linklede som han hadde rundt livet. Han kommer til Simon Peter. Peter sier, «Herre, vasker du mine føtter?» Jesus svarte, «Det jeg gjør, forstår du ikke nå, men du skal forstå det siden. Aldri i evighet skal du vaske føttene mine», sier Peter. «Hvis jeg ikke vasker deg, har du ingen del i meg», svarte Jesus. Da sier Peter, «Herre, ikke bare føttene, men hendene og hodet også.» Jesus sier til ham, «Den som er badet er helt ren og trenger bare å vaske føttene. Dere er rene, men ikke alle.» For han visste hvem som skulle forråde ham. Derfor sa han, «Dere er ikke alle rene.» Da han hadde vasket føttene deres og tatt på seg kappen, tok han plass ved bordet igjen. Så sa han til dem, «Forstår dere hva jeg har gjort for dere? Dere kaller meg mester og herre, og dere gjør det med rette, for jeg er det. Når jeg, som er herren og mesteren, har vasket deres føtter, da skylder også dere å vaske hverandres føtter.» Slik lyder Herrens ord.
Good evening. It's so good to be here with you guys. It's a beautiful service. And I don't know if you know this, but your priest really rocks. I love this guy. Wow. Every time I talk to him, I'm like, I feel like it looks like I'm talking to like somebody who rides one of those cool motorbikes. But he's just... There's so much Jesus in him. Thank you, Bertel. It's such a pleasure to be here with you guys. My name is Luke. I was born in the UK. I grew up in Brazil. Now I live in Poland. I have one wife and two children. My wife is Polish, and my kids have not decided where they're from yet. But we love serving Jesus together. We serve with a mission called Steiger. Our heart is to go to young people, young adults who wouldn't usually walk into a church, who feel like church maybe isn't for them, who would say, I'm not religious, it's not for me. We want to go to them and show them that God is for them, no matter what their situation is or where they're at. So we have these crazy teams in cities all around the world who are boldly going to the streets, to the universities, to the festivals, the clubs, and showing people who Jesus is in a creative, in a bold way, and building relationships to bridge the gap between the church and secular society today. And so we're praying and asking God to raise up a missionary movement to go to this secular society today. And that's what we're about. And if you want to know more, our team will be here afterwards and you can ask them more questions. They're on their way from another church where they've been talking as well. But we do this because we realize that so many people today think that God is far away from them. Or that maybe he doesn't exist. Or that if he exists, he doesn't relate to my life very much. They imagine God being in a big empty building or being an old tradition or something that doesn't relate to their lives anymore. They think of God maybe as an angry man who's accusing them, or they just don't know how it relates to their day-to-day life. Maybe they even have a desire in them to want to know if there's a God, but they just feel like it's not for them, like they can't access access it, like they just don't identify. And yet when I read the Bible and I hear a story like this one that was just read, I see a God who is so different to that. A God who is so close. A God who walked this earth, these dirty streets that we're part of, that sat in broken homes amongst the sickness and the division and the pain of this world, who walked with us and was close to us, and one who dressed himself like a slave and knelt down and washed the feet of 12 men. That's the God I read about in the Bible. And I'm like, I wish people could know and see that that's how close God is even today. And they often don't get the chance to hear it. So we go to them and we show them and we tell them. And when I want to look more deeply into this passage with you guys that we just read in John. And the first thing I see is that the passage starts with this declaration. The way John tells the story is interesting. He starts with this declaration. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. And that is the essence of Jesus. That's why he shows God's character close to us, because it says that's what it was all about for Jesus. He did these things. He walked this earth and was close to people for one reason. At the core of his nature and essence is love. And we don't often know much about love today. We're trying to figure it out. We've been told a lot of things about who we are and that we have to just figure life out. And there are so many people confused, lost, uncertain. And we're told that love is just a passing feeling and that you just have to figure it out. And so we go through one broken relationship to another and we're trying to figure out who we are. And we feel like we can't know these things for certain. But then you read this passage and you see a God who loved and was willing to sacrifice for that love and who was close. So Jesus does what he does in this story for this one reason. He loved those who were with him. And then John says another strange thing to tell the story. He says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. I mean, what's that got to do with what he's about to explain, that Jesus washed the disciples' feet? Why start like that? Why say, yeah, Jesus, he knew that all things were under his power and he'd come from God and he's going to God and so he does this? Well, it's exactly for the reason that I just said, that this world is lost in confusion. I mean, these are the biggest questions people are asking today. Who am I? Why am I here? Is it just a big accident that we're all here? And where are we going? What's the point of my life? Is there a point? You know, we sometimes like going to the streets and doing interviews, and we ask people, what's the purpose of your life? What's valuable to you? And many people say, I don't think I have a purpose. Or maybe there isn't a big purpose. Do I have to have a purpose? But very often when they're alone and when we put our heads on our pillows at night, those are the questions that are often haunting us. Like, why am I even in this world? Who am I? And there is so much loneliness and doubt in that. And then we read this certainty. A man called Jesus, who knew exactly who he was, who knew that God had put all authority in him, knew where he'd come from, that he'd come from the Father, and knew where he was going, that he was going back to the Father. And because he knew these things with all certainty, he did what he did. And what was it he did? So I want you to imagine a time where the streets are dirty with mud and everybody's walking around with these sandals on, right? And so they're walking around in this dirt roads, and they're getting covered with dirt all the way up their legs. And then they arrive in a friend's house to have a meal. And the tables weren't high like this now, they were low, and so people would lie down to eat. So the next thing you know, you've got your friend's dirty feet in your face when you're trying to have a meal, right? So, if you're in a house that has a bit of respect and maybe a bit of money to pay a servant and a slave, you arrive and you get your feet washed. Now, I grew up in Brazil, like I said, and in Brazil, it's hot all the time. It's amazing. And I loved going out and just having nothing on my feet all day. So I didn't actually, there was a period of my life where I didn't own a pair of shoes. I just had, you know, I don't know if you know this, Havaiana, Brazilians, flip-flops, that kind of thing. You know that? Yeah, okay. So I would just work. There's a Brazilian in the crowd, I can tell. So I'm walking around outside with nothing on my feet. I'm playing football and I'm just having a time of my life. And I get back home and my feet are totally covered in black dirt. And then I go into the bathroom and I quickly wash my feet with some water. And then I take one of my mom's lovely white clean towels and I rub it all over my feet and hang it up again. I don't think these guys had good soap back then. I think they had a bowl of water and a towel. And what would happen, I would hang that towel up and my mom would come into the bathroom and there was my footmark right there on that towel. But now I want you to imagine the King of the universe, the Almighty God, taking off his outer robe and putting that beautiful white towel around his waist and kneeling and wiping the feet of 12 dirty men and then standing before them wearing this towel with their feet all over it. A God who wore our dirt and stood before us having washed our feet covered in our dirt. And then you have Peter. Yeah? And Peter's that guy who reacts spontaneously. And so when Jesus comes to wash his feet, he says, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." I think that's how most of us would react, because that is the reaction of the natural man. Because what Jesus is doing does not make sense for our world, for this society, for our own hearts. It doesn't make sense. Because what is the law of nature? Survival of the fittest, the strongest. The strong has dominion over the weak. What is the law of history? You study nation after nation dominating each other by war, by control, by power. That is the nature of our history. What is the nature, what is the essence of the current secular philosophy that dominates our schools, our universities, and the social media, and everything that we listen to as we grow up? It is fight, be the best, survive. Do it on your own. Be whoever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, and survive. Beat the others. Fight for your rights, for what you want to do. That is the nature of our secular humanistic philosophy. And so what Jesus does makes no sense, because he is the King of the universe, and yet he takes the role of a slave and washes their feet. So Peter says, "No." But this is exactly what this world is looking for. Because how is it possible that in a world with that nature of survival of the fittest, that history and that philosophy that we have today, why are we going to the streets and protesting and saying we want to look after the world around us? That we want a good world? That we want love and peace and respect and equality? Why is our generation going to the streets and protesting for these values that are contrary to this survival of the fittest? Where do these values come from? When I talk to people on the streets and they say, "I'm not religious, I don't believe in God," I say, "Cool, what do you believe in?" And they say, "Human rights." That's one of the most common answers. "I believe in human rights. I think we need respect and love, equality." But I ask, where does that come from? Because it doesn't come from nature. It doesn't come from history. It doesn't come from this secular philosophy. It comes from one place, the cross of Jesus. Because at the cross, the most powerful being in the universe died the death of a slave and opened access to God for all people so that everybody was equal. At the cross, we are all the same, in need of Him. At the cross, we all have dirty feet. And this, what Jesus does, washing His feet, is a sign of what He's about to do on the cross. And He makes all of us equal. And that is where these values come from. That is where human rights come from. And that is what this world is wanting. That is what everybody out there is desiring. And they don't get the chance to know it because they haven't understood that this Jesus who washed their feet is the very essence of the Creator God who is alive and who is here right now. And so Peter says no, but then Jesus tells him why he has to do this. And he gives Peter and the disciples two reasons why he washes their feet. And the first one is he says, unless you let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. And that is a terrible thing to think of. If you know that everything that is good, everything that is pure and beautiful in this world comes from this one place, from this one person. To imagine not having part with that, not being able to have access to that peace, to that joy, to that everything that is good. So what Jesus is saying is crazy. And so Peter goes, okay, wash my whole body then. He knows that that's exactly what he needs, and that is what every single one of us needs. Because no matter how hard we try, and I try to be a good husband, I try to be a good dad to my kids, I try to be a good friend, I try to be a good person to this world, but every day I fail. I have dirty feet. I need Jesus, just like everyone here, just like everyone out there. We need to have our feet washed so that we could have part with Him, so that we could know this peace. That's the first reason. And that's why Peter goes, okay, go for it, wash my whole body. But the second reason Jesus gives is He says, I'm doing this to set an example because I'm not here to follow the law of nature and the law of humankind and of this world. I'm here to follow the law of God, which is the law of love. And so He sets a different example and He washes the feet of the disciples. He kneels down and washes their feet and He says, if I've done this for you, then you go and do the same for others. So the question I'm asking myself is, how can I wash people's feet today? What does that mean? How can I do that? You know, when my wife and I got married, we did a ceremony in our wedding where we decided to wash each other's feet as a symbol of this passage of serving each other, of being there for each other. So I, at least once in my life, I did that. I washed my wife's feet. But how can I do it to this society? How can I do it for these guys and girls out there who don't know who they are and trying to figure life out and so confused by the world? There's a girl that we met about a year and a half ago through our team in Poland. And we were out doing what we often do. We were out in the main square doing some music, talking to people. And her name is Janeta, and she had lived in Berlin for a number of years, and she'd got really lost there in the electronic music scene. She'd got involved in esoteric stuff and drugs and all kinds of things. And she was so confused by it all. And she was living under this kind of oppression and fear. She said she couldn't even sleep at night anymore out of fear. And so she decided to go back to Poland, where she was from, to try to find some answers. So she got back to her home city and she walked up to a big church building and she walked in trying to find some help. And somebody met her there and talked to her and said, I think you've got demons in you and you'll have to come here every week for exorcism sessions and maybe you'll never be free. And she walks out of there feeling even more confused and feeling even more lost and going, what is going on with my life? But then she walks across the main square and she hears music. And she sees some people who seem to have something different, and she comes closer to listen, and she realizes that they're talking about God. So she stays and she listens. And afterwards, one of the girls from our team went over to her and asked her how she was doing. And she told her story. And she said, my life is a mess. I can't even sleep. I don't know what I'm doing. And she said what had just happened to her. And the girl said, what you were told is not true. You can be free right now. And they prayed for her, and she felt a deep peace. And they invited her back to their home, and she went and had dinner with them and had a shower. And they said, hey, why don't you stay? Just stay here for a few days. She was staying in some hostel somewhere. So she stayed there overnight, and she told them, I can't sleep at night. I have a deep fear at night. And so the girl said, we're going to pray for you. And they prayed for her, and she slept like a baby, like she hadn't slept for months. And when she woke up, she felt new, like a newborn baby. And she stayed. And she's still part of our team today. And she started saying to us, can we go to the electronic music clubs in our city to tell people what you told me? So we started going with our team together with her to those places so that we could meet people and tell them what she had heard. And what hit me in seeing that in her was that I realized that she knew what it was to have her feet washed. She'd understood what it was Jesus had done for her. And so she wanted to wash the feet of others. So she wanted to go back to those who were from her place, from her environment, who she knew needed that. And she was willing to go back, even though it's hard for her. And she went back. And one time she went and she had did a thing in a park, and she had a big sign, and she said, an action like this saved my life. Come and ask me why. And she'd talk to people and tell her story. I think that washing other people's feet today would mean to be able to give them the same chance we've had of realizing that we're in need of this awesome, living, and loving God who is so close, who wore our dirt, and who gave us freedom, and that we would go and give others that same freedom. So I'd love to just pray that God would speak to our hearts right now. And maybe you're new here and you're going, wow, this is interesting, this is different. And maybe you've never really understood or heard or thought that this is what Jesus does, that this is what God is about, that he washes our feet, that he makes us clean, that he gives us a new chance, a new beginning. And if that's you, you can just say to him in your own words, Jesus, would you wash my feet? Maybe you know this story and you've been coming to church for a long time, maybe even all your life, but for the first time, maybe it's just hit you. Okay, that's what Jesus has done. That's why we start each service saying, forgive me and thank you for your forgiveness, because that is what he does for all of us. He washes our feet. And maybe you need to say that to him today. Jesus, I've understood that right now. Thank you. Wash my feet. I want to have part with you. Maybe you know this and you have had your feet washed. Maybe you walk with him. And he's calling each of us today and saying, I've given you an example. Now go and wash the feet of others. And so then, if that's you and it's me as well, then you need to be asking him, Jesus, please show me, how can I wash other people's feet today? Whose feet should I be washing, and how can I do that? Show me and help me to do it. So I'm going to pray like that right now. And if it's something that you're realizing for the first time, then you can just say these words. If you want, you can repeat them in your heart and just say, Jesus, thank you for coming to this world and showing us what God is like, for dying on the cross and coming back to life, and through that, giving me forgiveness, giving me a new chance. Thank you for washing my feet. And I ask that you would do that for me right now, that you would give me a new chance, that you would come into my life and help me to follow you. And Father, I pray for everybody in this room that you would speak to us with clarity, be it through dreams or visions or through your word, that you would show us how we can wash the feet of others today. I ask that you would do that for us right now, and that you would send us out of this place ready to do whatever it is you're calling us to do, and to show others how they can find freedom, identity, purpose, and life in you. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.